I just do not know what portion of scripture to ask you to look up first. But if we just open that at John chapter 15, and we will be looking at other parts of scripture. And as I said this morning, that we are commencing a three-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We will be looking at Galatians chapter 5, and we will be concentrating on that next Lord's Day morning. But we will just commence on the introduction to this series. And of course, we will look at the very first word, and that is fruit. Fruit is mentioned many times in Scripture. Fruit is very important to each and every one of us. I always like to have plenty of fruit in the house and at home, because of the grandchildren that come along, and I'm sure you would know of that, and how they love wee bit of fruit, and will encourage them to eat it, because it gives them good vitamins and helps their body to grow. So fruit is very important. And for 31 years of my life, I worked in the fruit and vegetable business. I had a wholesale and retail shop, and I really enjoyed it until the supermarkets came along, and then that made a big difference. So fruit has always been something that I have thought about. Only now, as you would look around the shops, you see so many different types of fruit from all over the world. In my days, you would not have got as much fruit. You just got it in season. And that was that. You got strawberries in the end of June and July. And then bye-bye strawberries the next June and July. But today, it is completely different, as you know. But we look at tonight just at the origin of fruit. And it's very interesting when we look at the scriptures. If you want to find the origin of anything, it's always good to go to Genesis. I love the book of Genesis because it's a great foundation for it. It's a great teaching book. We want to learn anything, we go to there, and God can really bless our hearts at it. And in verse 11 of the very first chapter, we see that God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself." So we have the God creating the tree. He didn't plant it. He created it. It was in its height. It was had its bark, it had its branches, it had its leaves, and it had its fruit. Everything was perfect on that tree. God created. And in that tree, and all the different fruit that there is, and I used to teach the wee children, when the people come for evolution in school, and always try to tell them that you just get an orange, as long as you don't get a seedless one, you'll be all right. But if you got an orange or a plum or anything like that, and cut it, and you see the seed inside it. And that's why we have the seeds in the fruit. So just don't crunch them or throw them out, but you always think of them seeds, because that's how the rest of the phrase growth. It's very important. It's wonderful the way God has that for trees to grow. And I don't know how the evolutionists would ever get their tongue around that one. I just cannot understand it. And truly, they just do not see, because it's hid from them. It must be hid from them. Otherwise, they would know by common sense that there was a creator. And then we also had that fruit. But we look at verse 16 of chapter 2 in Genesis, and we'll see the other fruit. We see that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely." This is what God said to man: eat freely of each tree. And then we have in verse 17, we have God giving the first command to man, and it's used by this here as fruit. It was fruit that God gave the command about. Now, that was wonderful as we read through the scriptures. As we look over these next three sermons, and we'll see how the fruit is very important and how God he uses it in all along right through. Because he used it in punishment and a command. And he says to Adam, remember, it was only Adam he gave this command to. And he says, you can eat of every tree except the one tree. The one that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And in other words, if you eat of this tree, you will die. And what a punishment that was for it. And of course, man didn't know what death was, because he was just there by himself. He couldn't have understood it, because it never happened before. But then God put Adam, or man, as he is known then, over in sleep, and took out a rib and made woman. And now there were two living in the world, living in the Garden of Eden. And they had a choice of all fruit as you could see. But then the old serpent came to the woman and talked to the woman and told about this tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. And the woman knew about it. And she talked back to the serpent, Satan. And as she talked back to him, and then he talked to her. Now that's a very important point, because later on in our series you will see the importance of not talking to Satan. Remember that. The importance of not talking or speaking to Satan. And there she obeyed his voice and took of that fruit. It must have been so beautiful. Must have been so beautiful. And she ate off it, and it was good for food. She gave it to Adam, and Adam ate off it. And of course, we all know what happened then. Man became a sinner. Man was punished by death. We first of all have spiritual death. And because man ate of it, every one of us are born that way. Everyone that was ever born was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And here we have them in the garden. Give to Adam, and then not just spiritual death, But physical death came afterwards. And who was first to die? Well, that was Adam and Eve's son, Abel. And he died. And when he died, how God knew that Cain had killed him because the blood of Abel cried to God from the ground. There we have the fruit in the Old Testament. And if you read right through the scriptures, you'll see many fruits mentioned. But those, I believe, are very important ones. And especially the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is why I'm standing here preaching in Kingston Free Presbyterian Church. Because of that fruit. Because Adam ate of it and disobeyed God's command. Now we turn to John chapter 15 and we'll see the fruit in the New Testament. The fruit in the New Testament. And here we have Jesus teaching his disciples. And he uses the vine for to explain salvation to them. And we'll see first of all the earthly vines. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I was always taught that in Sunday school. And I'm sure you were. Now, you know, sometimes you think you learn nothing in Sunday school and children's meeting. But you do. And we see the earthly vine. Of course, you need a husbandman. You need someone there to plant that vine. That's important. The vine just doesn't take a notion and say, I'll go and plant myself. It takes somebody there for to plant that vine. And also as it grows, as it matures, takes that husbandman to look after that vine and to make sure everything is right in the different climate of the whole year. There have to be different things done to it. And then the branches, they will grow out of the vine. And you have to look at the branches. You have to cut off some that would hinder the vine to grow. And then after the branches grow, of course you get the flower and then the fruit. And how wonderful it is whenever you have something, maybe a tree or a vine or a blackcurrant bush or something like that, and you can see it growing, and then you have at the end fruit. And how nice it is to have that fruit and to enjoy it. But then we see also the spiritual side of it. And we'll see in verse 1 that God here is a husbandman. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the vine. It's clear and plain. These are the words of the Savior. The words of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And we look at it and we'll see how God the Father sent his only Son into this world. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, and I use it regularly, for God so loved the world that he gave to his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful verse that is. Here we have the husbandman, God the Father, sending the vine, his only Son, to earth. And how wonderful that is. And we see that Christ here clearly, plainly says, I am the true vine. Remember when he was born, he was sinless. And then he was brought by his parents to Nazareth, and he grew up. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was both God and man, and the husbandman, the Father, his eyes were always upon him as he grew just up like just any other young child would grow. His Father was always there, looking on. And then when he started his ministry, when he was about 30 years of age, of course we all know that it started when John the Baptizer was baptizing in the River Jordan, and how he came to be baptized of him. What a great witness that was. That's when his ministry started. And as he ministered, he gathered unto him his 12 disciples. And who were the 12 disciples but the branches? And he says that, ye are the branches. He said that to each and every one of them. And of course, one of them, that branch had to be taken away. And that was Judas Iscariot, because he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was speaking to these 12 witnesses, the 12 disciples, as he started his ministry. And from then onwards, every believer, right down in history, we are the branches. Those of us who have been saved, born again of the Spirit of God, we belong to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we're branches. We're branches of the vine. We're all part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how wonderful that is. Then we see the fruit. Oh, we see the fruit. And the fruit was that God sent his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross in Calvary. But he also, when he was on earth, in John chapter 14, verse 16, and he spoke to his disciples, and he said to them, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He promised the 12 that the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and whenever he went to the cross in Calvary. And then remember how he rose again from the dead, and how he was seen with his disciples for 40 days, and then went up into heaven. And he says, when I go to heaven, I will send a comforter. I will not leave you alone. Always be there. For he promised the Holy Ghost that he would come and leave, and he will touch us. And as we get a picture here of the Holy Spirit in the believer through the fruit of the Spirit, we'll look now at the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is very important. Before the Lord saved us, we were under the power of Satan. We lived in the lust of the flesh, and we all know the lust of the flesh, and we can read it, and especially I must recommend one chapter in the Bible when you want to read about the lust of the flesh and about the Spirit, and that is that great chapter in Romans chapter 8. But we see the flesh, we read about it in Galatians, and it tells us about adultery. And adultery is any person married and being unfaithful. And it also speaks about fornication, which is sex before marriage. And uncleanness, not purity or filthy language. And also speaks us of lasciviousness, is lustful, sensual, impure, unmoral, and unnatural. We live around today, and what are they doing? They're legalizing things that are not natural for people to do. This is the works of the flesh. And there's idolatry, serving other gods. There's witchcraft, women who are capable of using black magic. And at home, this is something that is getting very rife. As the people are losing interest in Christianity, they're losing interest in other people's churches, and they're going to something that gives excitement. And one of it is witchcraft. And hatred, strong dislike. Variance, which is discord, are stirring up the trouble. Emulations, is to imitate, to equal, to mimic. That's why whenever you get these comedians come on television and they make fun of other people, this is emulation. It's not right. Only the work of the flesh. Work of the flesh. I used to know these men when I worked in London, and I have met many of those popular comedians then. My eyes weren't open, and I just thought it was great. But I'll be telling you more about that on the 1st of September. And then there's wrath, being angry, strife, fighting and being in conflict, seditions, discontentment and rebellion, envyings, which is jealousy, murders, is taking someone's life deliberately, drunkenness, taking too much alcohol and making one drowsy. It's one of the evil and wickedest things there is alcohol. And it can just take a normal person and make them into a terrible person. And I've also seen it on the reverse as well. And what is on the 18th one is such like anything contrary to the word of God. And what did it say? Shall anyone that doeth these things in the flesh shall not hurt the kingdom of God. Now these are very strong words. Very strong words. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or the works of Satan, the old life. Because we would have maybe enjoyed some of those. Maybe we didn't do many of them. But you would have enjoyed some of them. Because we were in the flesh that we were born in. And that we are still in the flesh. But you see, the gospel was hid from us. The gospel is hid to those that are lost, the Bible tells us. But now we look at whenever the Lord saved us. And this is something special. And this is what I would like you to really understand for our next meetings. We have a new life. You remember that time when the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and you realized that you were lost and realized we're going to hell. And the Holy Spirit spoke to us and showed us the Lord Jesus Christ, that he went to the cross, that he shed his precious blood, that he rose again, that he is now interceding. And by the Spirit we repented of our sin, forsook our sin, and started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The Lord saved us from a lost eternity. Oh yes, we might be in the, still in the body, in the flesh, but we're spiritually saved. And this is something wonderful, that we're not going on that broad road that leads to hell and destruction, but we are on that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. One day, whenever we die, be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that'll be something wonderful. Just to see the Lord Jesus in heaven, the glory of heaven, praising Him. Well, there's no time in heaven. What we will be praising Him forever and ever, we'll all be as one family of God. Isn't that wonderful? Washed in the precious blood of Christ. But as we live our life here, there's another verse I would like to say, and this verse has already been mentioned tonight in the prayer meeting, in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And in verse 9 it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if that is the case from the scripture, you cannot be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit indwelling with you. So that means that the moment we were saved, the Holy Ghost entered in to us. Isn't that wonderful? Been filled with the Holy Spirit from that time. And now as we continue, our time is gone now, but we will be looking at it in next Lord's Day morning, because we are now the sons of God. We're led by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. The Spirit is within us. And we no more want the things of the flesh. In other words, the flesh is our enemy. And as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you'll see how whenever the old flesh would come along, see, there's a great battle within us. The battle of the Satan and the Spirit. And that's why, as we'll see later on, that's why we must let the Holy Spirit fight our battles for us against the flesh. Because we are no match for Satan. Needs to be the Spirit that needs to be fighting our battles. And that's why we must always be in the Spirit. That we must allow the Spirit of God to lead us day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, because of that spiritual battle which is in our lives. Do pray that the Lord would bless you as you would go home now and study and look at Romans chapter 8 and in Galatians chapter 5, for we will be starting a series, The Fruit of the Spirit, and we will be looking at it and how we can really be blessed and to know of the assurance that the Lord is with us as we look at each fruit individually.